Have a banana, Hannah.
Hannah.
Try the salami, Tommy.
Oh, Tommy.
Here with the gravy, David.
David.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. Have a tomato, Plato.
Plato.
Here's cacciatore, Dora.
Oh, Dora.
Try the bologna, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. I'll fix your favorite dishes. Hoping this good food will fill you.
Welcome to Say Yes to the Chef. Our guest today is Jeff Cartonia. He's the executive director of the North Carolina Industrial Hemp Association. And I'm Janice Escott, a certified cordon bleu chef and instructor.
And I'm Kelly Taylor, a natural chef and instructor.
And I'd like to welcome Jeff this morning. Good morning, Jeff. It's good to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, this is an interesting subject that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about hemp, H-E-M-P. So, what is hemp?
Well, hemp is, industrial hemp is a strain of the hemp plant called Cannabis sativa L, and defined by federal law that would contain less than 0.3% tetrahedral cannabidol. So that is the legal definition of the hemp plant. The hemp plant is something that has been cultivated for millions of years and something that was a big part of the history of the United States.
Yeah, there's a lot of history about the growing of hemp. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the actual hemp plant itself and how it has influenced our country from the beginning?
Well, from our country, certainly the beginning, the founding fathers all used to grow hemp. It was a resource that was important enough that you actually were required to grow an element of hemp on your land. It is something you could pay taxes with. And that is before any of the real health and medicinal benefits were even discovered. So, you know, we're talking about ropes and sails and stuff of that nature that could be created for, you know, clothing or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So there are very specific items in our history that hemp was used for. What are some of those items?
Well, the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp. The flag that Betsy Ross.
The very first flag
she made
out of hemp.
Our association actually was involved with some friends out of Colorado that had a hemp flag that their goal was to, and I forget their website, but their goal was to get the hemp flying over the Capitol of every United States legislature. And these guys came from Colorado for part of our experts for the symposium we hosted last year. And we got the flag and we had it flown over the North Carolina State Capitol July 4th of last year.
Yeah.
And
we have a
certificate, and you can see it on our Twitter feed if you go back to the beginning of it. So we had that flown over the North Carolina State Capitol, and we're, you know, gave it back to them. And they're trying to get it to every capital in the United States and then to the Congressional Library when they're done.
Oh, that's really cool. It's a nice fact to know, isn't it? So, okay, let's talk about hemp, the actual plant.
Versus the one that's in the, you know, the big elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The difference between marijuana and hemp, because that's what everyone wants to know.
The difference between marijuana and hemp is the marijuana plant grows with a high amount of THC and a very low amount of CBD or cannabidiol. The industrial hemp plant grows quite the opposite, very high levels of CBD and very low levels of THC.
CBD, what are we talking about here?
Cannabidiol, and it's some of the medicines that are being used that are being tested certainly in the United States to help prevent Dravet syndrome. It's been known to have anti-inflammatory effects. It does interact. All of our bodies have CBD receptors in all parts of our bodies, not just the brain. A lot of, you know, my original misconception that was more of a brain thing, but there's actually CBD receptors all throughout your body, and the CBDs that can be extracted can interact and help with inflammation in your knee, for example, or your elbows or arthritis.
I need to be taking some of that.
Yeah, these are some of the newer things that we didn't know as you know back in the original history that can be helped. But hemp is an extremely sustainable, obviously green. It's a negative carbon plant. And obviously it can be used in food, it could be used in plastics, it could be used in fibers, ropes, you know, carpets, the list goes on. There's nanotechnologies based on that could be, you know, batteries can be created. So, you know, people say, you know, 25,000 uses, and, you know, that's certainly a big number. But the industrial hemp plant can, you know, meet or beat the expectations of a raw material in tens of thousands of products. But obviously, being cultivated on a very small scale, industry can't really even take a look. You know, like, you know, we talked about before the show, the car that Henry Ford put together. You know, some of the auto manufacturers in international companies, you know, namely Germany, grow their own hemp over there in Germany, and they use it in the BMW i3 electric car, has a hemp dashboard and hemp crash padding in it and stuff of that nature. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, obviously Europe is very, you know, keeps their mind eye to the sustainability and stuff of that nature. And we are more and more every day as a country. And that's just another, you know, quiver in the, in the bag.
So the stalks of the plant are what go into some of these industrial products. And the word plastic comes up because obviously that's something that is very versatile in our, I mean, look around.
Right.
So many things.
It's in everything.
So now the plastics are made out of what?
I don't know.
Petroleum.
Petroleum.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Petroleum based,
But the plastics that we're talking about that are hemp-related are made out of the plant itself.
Right, and it's important to mention there's two. There's the fiber, which grows on the outside, and the hird that grows in the middle. The core of the hemp plant is one of the most natural, and I've been told it's the most absorbent natural property. And what the company here, Industrial Hemp Manufacturing out of Spring Hope, North Carolina, they have multiple products, but one of their main products is an absorbent product that they make out of the herd.
Oh.
So it could be used for chemical spill cleanup. They did some work with BP Oil. They have a loss prevention I forget the exact name of the product, but an LCM, I think it is, for oil and gas drilling companies to, you know, fill the fissures or the cracks so the other chemicals that they have to use for drilling don't spread throughout the water. So that's a big reason for the plant here in North Carolina.
Oh, my goodness. That I mean, it's there are so many more things. Like you said, there are thousands of different products that can be
makeup,
made.
Makeup. We talked about makeup and lotions.
Yes, and cosmetics. It's a big part of cosmetics. I actually, my daughter has a salon and spa, and she uses hemp products all the time, and they are remarkable. They really are. I mean, every time I go in there, I put it on my hands and it sinks right into my skin, and my skin stays hydrated all day long. It's an amazing product as far as cosmetics are concerned, and they use it for hair and lip balm and shampoos and soaps and all kinds of stuff like that too.
I have a question about you were talking about. You said earlier something about there's not enough quantity, like it's being grown on a small.
Well, yeah, scale. I mean, industry-wise, you know, the word industrial hemp, obviously you assume very large scale, and there's pockets of the country that are cultivating hemp. But, you know, my best guess, you know, based on some research, you know, we're in the 15,000 acres, you know, which I think North Carolina is like 3 million acres itself, let alone the rest of the country. So we're on a very small scale of production. So that's what I think everybody's trying to develop is, you know, a company like Ford, they're not going to do nothing with, you know, one bale of hemp. They need, you know, truckloads and lots and lots of acres, obviously. And all the states are certainly handling their legalities differently in order to legally cultivate industrial hemp. Some states are being a little bit more progressive. Some states are being a little bit cautious, and that's, you know, our association is trying to, you know, work for the best possible, you know, economic outcome for North Carolina, including, you know, farmers going up to manufacturers and producers, you know, going up to the marketplace, and that's what we are, you know, we're looking to do.
We have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Say Yes to the Chef. So what are the legalities? You say they're handled differently state to state.
Well, essentially, the legality is that started with the Federal Farm Bill of 2014, had a subsection 7606, which laid out, it's only a couple of pages long, but it laid out the legal parameters for legally cultivating industrial hemp, you know, protecting anybody from its Schedule One drug status of legal cultivation, which mirrors it with, you know, marijuana, the elephant in the room, like you said. You know, whole nother story for a whole nother day, but, you know, the bottom line is cannabis was lumped together and for reasons, you know, that just don't make any sense in this day and age, but in that day and age, I guess it made sense to somebody, enough people to make it illegal. So with the Federal Farm Bill, it states that a state can make a decision to, you know, license industrial hemp growing via an agriculture department of the state and or universities, or it's I think the actual statute says higher education, and there's a definition for that, but, you know, I don't know if it's two-year colleges and above or four-year colleges and above, but there was a legal definition in 7606. So once the state makes that decision, like we did last year.
What decision did we make for North Carolina?
To identify Senate Bill 313, okay, which our association was part and parcel to bringing this legislation to the floor and get it voted on successfully.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. It established the legal definition of hemp and then the procedures that North Carolina has to take. So the very first one and important one is in our, you know, discussions, you know, essentially there's a cost associated with monitoring this project. And last year, we all know the budget battle was pretty intense within the legislature. In order for us to look at progressing through, we had to find a compromise, and essentially was the Industrial Hemp Commission or the North Carolina Industrial Hemp Commission. And there wasn't budget available out of the state budget, wasn't budget available out of agriculture, and in order for to put this agenda on the legislature floor and get it successfully moved through, we had to basically jumpstart this commission. So this commission, and it's all defined by law, it's under Senate Bill 313. It can be found on our website, which is ncindhemp.org, and the commission has to receive $200,000, and that will be formed, and then that commission will go through recommendations to the state agriculture department for adoption, basically North Carolina's hemp rules, regulations, licensing, and procedures.
So they've formed yet, or they haven't formed the commission?
The discussions that we have is they are waiting to form once this $200,000 is fully raised.
Mm-hmm.
And our association is responsible for $52,151 at the moment that we have raised, and we're in discussions with a couple other groups that are you know, trying to do the same and get us to that mark and get the commission at least going.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, then there has to be a development of the industry, and that's how we got to this conversation originally. Mm-hmm. Is, well, where is the industry? And it's coming, because if you look at just 4 short years ago, there were 0 states. You know, certainly Colorado was the first with their constitutional amendment, which included hemp. And then you look into, you know, Washington State and Oregon. Obviously, Kentucky has been a real agriculture state that has gravitated to, you know, the Commissioner of Agriculture, Comer, felt like this is something that, of course, with, you know, Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell, that hemp can, you know, don't want to say replace necessarily, but certainly some people believe it can replace that tobacco monies and success.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And land for the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really been one of our biggest pushes. It's also been a real challenge for our association to keep everybody thinking about the right thing, which is hemp, and certainly not the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then also trying to gravitate this massive money with some unknowns out there. You know, well, one of the biggest benefits North Carolina has is industrial hemp manufacturing and a 70,000 square foot building that contains the only decortication facility in North America. It could process about 40 million pounds a year.
It's the only one in North Carolina, or the only one in the United States.
It's the only one in the United States, yeah. And it was originally in North Carolina as part of some tobacco buyout study, and essentially looking into the Knaf plant, which has very similar properties, and it grows the same, you know,
as hemp.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can grow 10, 12, 18 feet tall, you know. And then, you know, there's a solid, you know, absorbent core, mm-hmm. and then there's the fibers. But in the whole, you know, scheme of thing, you know, the Knaf plant is not what everybody's on about. You know, people want to buy hemp, not mm-hmm. Knaf. So for whatever, you know, reason that company did whatever its research was, it was purchased by another company, which is now Industrial Hemp Manufacturing. It was moved from Snow Hill to Spring Hope.
So North Carolina really could get a lot of benefit from just that one.
Yeah, our feeling area. With the association that we formed in late 14 and certainly, you know, announced ourselves with our symposium a year ago and then started to do our legislative work and our lobbying to progress Senate Bill 313 through and the success, although it's not the end game, it's a first quarter touchdown, if you will, mm-hmm. is getting Senate Bill 13 done. Now we got to get, you know, the $200,000, but then we also have to fight for the continued progression of this industry. You know, with that being said, going back to the original statement, 10, 15, 20, 30,000 acres is not industry yet. And, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of research and development that we feel, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina State University, North Carolina Farmers, obviously, you know, Chapel Hill, Duke, mm-hmm. you know, we have Wake Forest is already doing, you know, Wake Forest has been working with a company out of United Kingdom doing studies on some of the chemical components, the CBDs or the mm-hmm. cannabidiol, and how that is very, very successful treating kids with Dravet syndrome. These are kids that are suffering hundreds of seizures a month. And I've been explained as a, you know, commoner, not a doctor, the CBDs kind of act as like a speed bump. So when you're going through a seizure and your brain's neurons are firing like crazy, the CBDs kind of slow that activity down. Mm-hmm. And that is what is helping with the seizures, again, on a complete layman's terms.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating, though.
Our guest today is Jeff Cartonia. He's the executive director of the North Carolina Industrial Hemp Association. Such an interesting subject. Getting really into the depths of stuff here.
It's almost a catch-22. We were talking, though, before, like, you have to have the industry, but you can't have the industry until you know that you can have the industry. I mean, legally, it has to be okay to do before mm-hmm. someone's going to commit
right.
their time, resources mm-hmm. to growing it.
It's probably the challenge that as an association we didn't see coming, because we had a lot of discussion with industry all throughout the country, certainly within the United States or within North Carolina as well. And we felt like that $200,000 was going to be raised by Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But then kind of going back with these people, it's like, well, you know, when people are supposed to be putting ink to their checkbook, mm-hmm. it's been a little bit more of a challenge than we suspected. Because of that, there's a lot of maturity that has to happen within the industry. There has to be some progressive people that want to get it to where it needs to be. And then there's segments of the industry that has to mature for it to really be a scalable thing where we could have tens of thousands of acres here in North Carolina and a profit center. And, you know, it's going to take a good bit of money to generate all of that. You know, our association certainly needs the help. You know, we need volunteers to spread the word, educate the public, and meet with industry and community impact development, and just really continue to push this along on a large scale.
You got a lot of things on your plate. those are big obstacles to overcome.
They are, and you know, we're doing all we can. We have you know, four board members and a couple employees at this moment, and you know, certainly a great team of lobbyists and political assistants that come from within our board, and we are doing all we can every day.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it really does. There's I'd kind of like to get back to some products, because I think that listeners are probably really interested in what that is. Kind of interested in talking about paper, because it is part of our it is part of our history.
Mm-hmm.
And we have so many environmental groups complaining about the misuse of our forests.
Certainly.
So let's explore that a bit.
The wood pulping process and what hemp pulping is a little bit different. I think there's, again, some industry change that would have to come from a full scale. But as far as the pulp procedure in regards to, or the pulp quantities, the industrial hemp plant, 1 acre of industrial hemp, and in some parts of the country, like even Hawaii's looking at industrial hemp already there. I mean, they have great weather. You can turn multiple crops, you know, per season.
In a year.
Right. In eastern North Carolina, I think you could argue 2 crops. In western, probably one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in western North Carolina, you'd be looking at possibly more seed production. Mm-hmm. and maybe some of the medical type production, because, you know, that's certainly a little bit, that type of plant is better suited to grow successfully indoors. Industrial hemp that's grown for fiber throws off like 0.5% to 2% of these CBDs that we were talking about, whereas some of the indoor cultivable crops can produce, you know, as high as I've heard upwards of 30% CBDs.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and that's the medicinal.
That's the medicinal.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, you have, as far as products go, you know, list is certainly endless, but the paper, I met with a company in Colorado, and they have a bioreactor, and they had some tests that were extremely successful in paper towels, napkins, paper, with a name brand, you know, paper company.
What's a bioreactor?
I couldn't explain it to you exactly, but essentially it's an in, out, and flow of chemicals where you end up with the solids on one end and the liquids on the other.
Wow.
And it's a bioreactive process. So you end up with this, you know, with this pulp on one end that was suitable for the production or further production of paper. But then you ended up with, you know, some of these CBDs, the sugars, the lignins, you know, all the things that, you know, are in the plant. And again, those could be further processed as well. But it was a small reactor. It was kind of a test.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is something industry scale, you know, we're talking $10-20 million, but this thing can process tons and tons if it goes down that road. Obviously the Spring Hope facility is something that's here and can crunch up 40 million pounds.
We have to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Oh, Tommy. Here with the gravy. Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. My name is Kelly Taylor, and my co-host is Janice Escott.
So, do you have any idea the difference between the pulp that you get from hemp versus the pulp that you get from the same acreage of wood?
My understanding is certainly stronger and stuff like that, but as far as...
just the quantity. Like, if you're thinking of, like, a... sustainable or like acreage, right?
Like 1 acre of hemp can replace 4 acres of trees.
And again,
if you're turning multiple crops, you could probably increase that number.
Plus the amount of time it takes to grow hemp. How fast does hemp grow?
Well, depending on the strain, between, you know, 45 to 120 days. So
yeah, versus the
you
tree.
Know, like versus when you're, years.
Yeah, exactly.
For trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, years yeah. and years.
Years.
The industrial yeah. fiber hemp plant can grow, you know, I've seen pictures and talked with guys in Australia, Queensland, and it can grow 17 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it can get, you know, a pretty good diameter, and it could grow pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, we won't be doing that around here. You know, probably 12 feet is from what I understand from talking with, the guys that are, you know, certainly working with the industrial hemp plant here, the industrial hemp manufacturing. So
paper is extremely valuable resource
and,
for
and
this
then
plant.
And that's one part of the plant.
Yeah,
so
it's only
that's
a
the
part,
herd.
But yeah.
And then the other part, you could do clothing.
Okay.
You know, and a whole host of, you know, fabric type products.
Years ago, I had a shirt
Yeah, it was made. And you probably still have it.
And you know what? It was interesting. Well, I had it for probably 12 years. And then, really, and then I moved, and I had this shirt, and I gave it to somebody who was helping me move. And I wonder now where that shirt is, because it refuses to wear out. Mm-hmm. I think that the clothing industry probably doesn't like hemp fabric very much, because it doesn't wear out.
No, I mean, we've talked, you know, I think there is a... There's a push to this, you know, as a world, but yeah. certainly, you know, there's a push to being more sustainable,
yes, exactly.
more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. so I think the fabric companies are.
Yeah. And that's why I think making flags out of hemp is absolutely mm-hmm. the perfect use for it, because you want that flag mm-hmm. to be around for a lot of years, and they do wear out in the
sure.
in the weather and the mm-hmm. outdoors and things like that. So it would be it's the perfect material for flags. It really is. So
how fascinating.
It is so fascinating.
What's the difference between the two? Why do you make fabric out of one and paper out of the other part?
The middle or uh-huh. the core of the plant is where you would make your paper pulp.
Uh-huh.
It's used in the LCMs for industrial hemp manufacturing. It can be used in tons of things, like plastics and all this stuff. And then the uh-huh. outside is the fiber. Uh-huh.
So there's no fiber in there.
Right.
The,
so yeah,
the core of it.
You know, you can see diagrams, but you have a core, and then you have the outside. It's a fiber.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you can like peel the fiber strands off. You uh-huh. know.
So that those fiber strands, not just fabrics, but carpeting and
sure,
rugs
crash padding for automobiles.
Yeah, that's clever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm sure
yeah.
there will be no endless
yeah, I'm sure
invention about what
couches,
to do with it.
I mean, look at
yeah,
the furniture.
Industry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, furniture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's also important to mention. There's something called hempcrete. A lot of people know about it. A lot of people don't.
No, I don't know.
But hempcrete can be made from the core. You mix it with lime, and
what,
it makes
what is hempcrete?
Oh, it's like concrete.
Hempcrete. It's like concrete.
Oh,
there's a company in Asheville that has built a few hemp homes, also outside of the state, but uh-huh. inside of the state. There's a company that you know we've discussed with. It's a member of ours that you know they're testing out different batches of hempcrete.
Buildings, good construction.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Oh my gosh, that blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
It gets even better. I mean, first of all, it's sustainable. Like I talked to one guy, he's like, how cool is it going to be when I could use my farm to grow my own hemp to build my own house?
My own house. Wow.
And that's just that picture of sustainability. But that it's stronger. Uh-huh. Obviously, it does take a while to cure, but it also acts as like a filter for your home. I mean, some of the most, I'll just call it nasties, that we deal with as human beings all come from our homes.
Yes.
You know, the formaldehyde.
The things, the chemicals that all those
everything.
Things.
As well as our clothing
right.
and the dyeing of our clothing.
Right.
But,
right.
It, you know, at the end of the day, we'll keep it to the construction.
Right.
So,
or we'll be here for a long time.
Right. Hours and hours.
So it does that. Uh-huh. It's carbon negative, uh-huh. so it actually uh-huh. filters some of your air, and it's incredibly insulative. So you don't need additional insulation and stuff of that. And I've talked to some people that have done tests where they built a hempcrete wall. They put one of those, you know, turbo uh-huh. industrial heaters on one side of it, blowing, you know, again, I didn't do the test, but I don't know, a couple 1,200 degrees of heat, you know, blowing through that thing, and on the other side of an 8-inch hempcrete wall, the ambient temperature was just a couple degrees.
So wow. And it's only 8 inches, which is really
right.
not
and
that.
That's amazing.
It breathes, you know. So yeah. the hemp breathes. I talked to another guy out in Colorado that designed a hemp home, and the understanding was it was a certain size home, but with a certain amount of people, even in the uh-huh. cold weather, it would keep your ambient temperature, you know, right at your room temperature,
so
without heat and air
without
conditioning.
Talk
heat.
About environmentally... Mm-hmm. I mean, where
friendly,
everybody's
yeah.
complaining about the use of electricity and
sure.
and using the sun, and but the building materials are the
yep.
key.
Yeah, and that's a huge you know key. And we can still go back to focusing on food and stuff like that, but it's just
well,
another thing that is out there.
Our last half hour, we definitely will talk
yeah.
about
All
food.
Right. Well, I think we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about food. But
yeah,
so
yeah.
far, we've already had so many uses.
It's amazing.
It's kind of blowing my mind a little bit. But when we come back, we'll talk more about him.
Here with the gravy, David. Everybody eats when they come to my house. How about some tomato, Plato? Here's got your Toradora.
Welcome back. You're listening to Say Yes to the Chef. My name is Kelly Taylor, and my co-host is Janice Escott. Pumpkin seeds, however you use those, you can, like when you said make a pesto, it's a perfect example. You can make a pesto with hemp seeds.
Throw it in granola.
Yes. Because actually, hemp, to me, tastes a little bit like a pine nut. I don't know if anybody else thinks that. But I think it kind of tastes really similar to a pine nut, of which is the traditional nut in Italian pesto is a pine nut. So you could replace them and make a very, it's probably cheaper because pine nuts are a fortune.
Well, hemp seeds are not the cheapest thing.
No, but pine nuts are even more.
Imported. You know, all those seeds are coming in from out of the country.
But think about pine nuts. You have to get one of those, like, it's such a labor-intensive...
Like a vanilla bean, right?
Yeah, it's just like, it's expensive because it's a pain.
Right.
Our guest today is Jeff Cartonia. He's the executive director of the North Carolina Industrial Hemp Association. And we're talking about food.
Finally, we made it to
Finally, we made it to the food. So there are so many things. I was kind of interested when I was looking looking up stuff. It mentioned wine and beer. I was like, what?
Well, I didn't know this so recently, but there's a lot of similar properties with hops.
So beer, hemp beer.
I know people have been fussing with it, trying it.
Yeah, you know. Try and make it work. Well, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And then I saw the word cheese, and I thought, how does that work?
That's a new one on me.
I've
made lots of cheeses out of nuts and seeds because I don't.
Okay, so nuts and seeds.
So you've got to think of them as a family of things. Like when you start to think of a food as what it is, it's a seed. Then you think of other things that you've done with seeds.
Oh yes,
and then you can figure out how to do similar. It doesn't seem such a strange product if you think of it as other things that you recognize already.
So is there a hemp milk?
Yes.
There's hemp milk.
It's very good. Yeah. It's a little sweet. It's very good. I like it.
Like almond milk. And
almond milk. It's like almond milk or anything.
I'm not sure about the process, you know, half the time when they get to the store, you know. Yeah. I mean, I never know. You have to really do your research to figure out how it's processed so that it doesn't destroy the good, healthy, you know, qualities that it started out with and what they've added back in. Like if you go look at those milks in the store, they're not just nut and water, which is what they should be.
And you've made them, so
they're very easy to make. Just blend them up with water in your
blender.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's really, and then you strain the ones that are very pulpy, like almond, you strain out. But that's really all you do. So it's not very complicated, but they have to keep it on the shelf, so they add
stuff.
And some of the stuff is not so good.
Yeah, right.
You know, I read that you can eat the leaves. Of the plant. I don't know how or what they would do with the leaves.
Do they do anything with the industrial?
I haven't tried that one yet.
I know, like if
you're looking at a dual crop in North Carolina and you're growing it on the eastern part of the state, you're growing this big, tall, fibrous plant, let it kind of grow till it dies, basically ret in the field, and then get the fiber to the industrial manufacturing facility. You can cut the tops off and use that as animal feed. So the seeds, the leaves, grind it all up, and it's excellent source of all these things that we talked about, and it's
people,
great for the animals,
of course.
Exactly, and one of the issues I know in North Carolina in general, I went to a seminar at North Carolina State, was the importing of the animal food that North Carolina has to expend as a whole to bring it in from Nebraska, Wisconsin, whatever. We have a shortage because nobody wants to grow the cheap animal food products here, so we don't. Some farmers, I'm sure, do, but as an industry scale, they bring in a lot of, I think it was about $330 million in transportation costs on a yearly basis.
Oh, my.
But as a dual crop, you know, you can feed the animals better than anything else they're getting with the tops of it, and you could sell that, and then the fiber can go to the decortication facility.
So every part of that plant is usable.
Including the roots, because you mash that up into the soil for your biomass.
What does it do to the soil? We talked about replacing the tobacco lands, which were terrible for the soil.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And the hemp taproot's so big, it actually aerates your soil. And then when you crunch it all up, it leaves a big biomass, which a lot of plants are going to still leave a biomass. But the hemp plant's bigger, so it's even more beneficial for that. And it's also a soil remediation product that they used in Chernobyl to suck the heavy metals out of the contaminated land because the plant's so absorbent. Now, this is not stuff you'd want to eat, and you probably wouldn't want to mill it and wear it on your clothes either. If you're buying it from Russia, some of it was planted in Chernobyl. But it's good at sucking the cadmium, the lead, and and stuff like that.
It's interesting the different types of the plant.
Right, too.
Like that's fascinating. So you have this one plant. We think of all these plants. We think of plants as one plant, even though that's not true.
Well, it's like a dog.
Yes.
You know, they're not all dogs. Well, or, I mean, they are all dogs. You know, but you got poodles.
Some think they're people.
And you got, you know, you got all different types.
Right.
And the same thing with the cannabis plant as a whole, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we always just think of, like, marijuana. Yeah. That's it. That's the bad, you know. It's like tomatoes, right? How many go to the thing and buy a tomato? There's tons of tomatoes.
It's a shameful association to such a great part of what could be a sustainable planet, meaning the industrial hemp plant, and, you know, the marijuana portion that it's coming out of its, like, super fear, but...
Yes, because I think some of the legalization in the other states are going
to go
a long
and the medical studies now that are coming and what it helps with, you know, PTSD, and I know there's a whole bunch of NFL players on board now, and they're even talking about head trauma, that it helps with some of these concussions and stuff like that. But again, the research is very pocketed right now. University of Colorado Boulder and all, everything that's going out there, it's starting to spread. You know, I know Wake Forest is doing something with... company out of the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, one last thought is, what do you really see in the near future that you
not
would like to make a statement
not
about?
Not sure yet. I mean, the industry is coming. I think North Carolina needs to take advantage of that, and we're certainly doing all we can to help spur what needs to happen with the economic growth in this state. You know, we need to get out there and do more education, more awareness, and so on. You know, industry is—it's going to take some time. You know, but right now it's a lot of awareness, and you know, we need the support, whether that's volunteers or whether that's financially, because this is not a cheap endeavor. Educating, you know, working with the politicians, and just travel and, you know, shows and everything that we do as an association, so we need the help. And then we're also trying to support our farmers, you know, with a new crop that, you know, has, obviously, look at all the potential we talked about today.
Yes, there's a lot. But it is a challenge that you're going to have to do. Do you want to tell us your website again? And
yes,
people can go up and volunteer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They can contact us via the website. We have a volunteer form that we would send out to people and then put you on a task or work with you. I mean, we're working with web designers and all different types of people, volunteers that will just go to a show and, you know, give out a bumper sticker, whatever the case may be. But it's www.ncindhemp.org.
Great.
ncindhemp.org. Okay, got that. Jeff Cartonia, Executive Director of North Carolina Industrial Hemp Association. If you or someone you know has a food message appropriate to this show, please contact us at our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. We'd love to hear from you. And please like us on our Facebook page, Yes to the Chef. And for more information and to listen to all previous podcasts of this program, be sure to visit our website, www.yestothechef.com. And we are co-hosts, Kelly Taylor, Natural Chef and Instructor, and I'm Janice Escott, Cordon Bleu Chef and Instructor. Please join us here. Happy cooking, Kelly.
Happy cooking, Janice.
And thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank
it was just great having you here. Thank you.
Here with the gravy, David. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Have a tomato, Plato. Here's cacciatore, Dora. Try the bologna, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. I'll fix your favorite dishes. Hoping this good food will fill you.